T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Ryan Miller night is set. It is this coming season in January of 2023. The 19th will be the night, Marty Baron, for Buffalo Sabres fans and hockey fans to celebrate Ryan Miller and see his jersey number retired. Quite a night.
Quite a night. Originally, I was thinking that may happen in November, just because the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame is, I believe, in November. But you know what? Let's have our own special event. Like, let's have Brian come in and be 100% on the Sabres radar, on the fans' radar, and make this night a special night. So I'm really, really looking forward, knowing that. And I'm going to give props to our game presentation crew down at the arena with the Sabres. Last season, they did an amazing job, from the bands playing live music in between periods and some great bands we had, some fun entertainment, to what they did with RJ's banner ceremony night, RJ's last call, and everything else. I just expect that the bar will continue to rise, and that we'll have one spectacular evening when Ryan Miller comes in for his jersey retirement ceremony.
Head to sabres.com. Season tickets are available, half season tickets available, and those are your guaranteed options to make sure you have a seat that particular night when Ryan Miller is here and the Sabres honor him. The Islanders will provide the opposition. It's a Thursday night, January 19th of 2023. There was Sabre news after we went off the air yesterday, Marty, as Riley Sheahan is back in the fold. As far as the depth chart is concerned, it's fair to say that he is going to be in a battle for the fourth line center position, but the contract also stipulates it's a two-way deal, which means what, in your opinion?
Well, it means obviously that Riley Sheahan is willing to take maybe a contract that is not favorable for him. I mean, he's 30 years old. He's been around in the league, played over 600 games. So it's not often that you see a 30-year-old saying, okay, now I will take a two-way deal. But it's one that he's betting on himself, saying, look, give me an opportunity and I'll push myself in that door. And we talked about the fourth line center position a lot last week, I believe it was, and Riley Sheahan in Seattle last year had 17 points, 4 goals, not a lot of offense, but really did again most of his ice time spent on killing penalties, taking draws, defensive positioning. So could he be a dark horse to make the roster?
Yeah,
I think dark horse would be a good way to put it. I don't expect him to be there, but if you don't want, and I'm not saying you don't want, but if it's not the right time after training camp to have Quinn and Peterka, or either one of them, or one or the two of them on the roster with the Sabres moving forward, then that's because either Quinn and Peterka did not perform to the level you want them to be, or because players like Sheahan or Bjork or Hinostroza or whatnot are performing above expectations, and now you have a decision to make.
Let's revisit Riley Sheahan's signing in a minute, and perhaps we can do so with your depth chart. But the biggest story that just broke in the NHL is that of Robin Lehner. He will miss the entire upcoming season for the Vegas Golden Knights as he requires hip surgery, and an exact timeline for his recovery is to be determined. That information disseminated by the Vegas Golden Knights themselves. So you were discussing this the other day, that you were unsure if Lehner could get back to the level that he once performed at. Left that as a major concern for obvious reasons about the Golden Knights moving forward. This directly impacts Logan Thompson and his ability to follow up now on how last season ended. How significant is this breaking news for you and for the Golden Knights?
It's very significant. Number one, it's significant on the salary cap of the Golden Knights, because we all know that with Shea Weber's $7.8 million, that's going to be put on long-term IR, and now Robin Lehner, $5 million, that gives them about $12.8 million, close to $13 million of long-term IR relief. Right now, that would put them at about $7 million under the cap. Which is not a situation we thought the Vegas Golden Knights were going to be in. I mean, they traded Dadonov to Montreal to basically get rid of the $5 million, acquired Shea Weber's injured reserve money. They gave Max Pacioretty for nothing to Carolina because they had to make room because they were going to sign Kolesar, Nick Waugh. There was, you know, a lot of contracts that needed to come into play. And now you have the Robin Lehner news in August. So I feel like that's very significant for the Golden Knights cap situation. In net, we don't have to revisit what I said a couple of days ago. I just don't think that what I saw out of Robin Lehner the last couple of years gave me confidence that he could be a top goalie in the NHL and could take Vegas to where they want to go. I told you, I felt that if Vegas gets has a good season and is pushing in the playoffs to try to get to a cup, it would be with Logan Thompson. Laurent Brossoit will probably be the backup. They may split up and down the middle for a little while, but I think Logan Thompson is their best option. So it facilitates, let's just put it, it facilitates the decision to be made in the crease for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Brossoit is listed as injured at this moment, too, as we have known. So this will be incredibly interesting. They still need to do a Nick Hag deal on their blue line and or make more transactions to settle the blue line itself. Thompson, you know, is under contract for not only this year, but two more years. So he's in a position to establish himself moving forward. The question I would ask, and I ask it with your understanding of the cap and how much money you can have on long-term injured reserve, and the fact that nothing is official on Nazem Kadri, would this be an opening for the Golden Knights to bolster their team in a different way?
It could be, but if what is being rumored that the New York Islanders have a 7x7.25 contract, basically worked out with Nazem Kadri.
Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but I think that contract number might have been a little on the false side. But regardless, we've known the Islanders to be in this mix for a long time.
And yes, so as Dave Pignota alluded on his Twitter this morning, I believe there's still some fake accounts running out there and some people that are really not in the know. And the insiders are all on vacation, so maybe they haven't sharpened their pencils enough to be able to write down the actual correct numbers. But I don't see, unless Vegas really wants to put themselves again in a position where their cap is going to be managed not by thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, but by hundreds and single dollars, because that's how they've been dealing with it the last few years. If they want that, then maybe they make a swing at Nazem Kadri. I really don't think that is going to happen. Like we talked about Carolina yesterday with the loss of Pacioretty. Could they be in for a Nazem Kadri? They could. I don't see it happening. I think Kadri goes to the Islanders, but it just makes things a little bit more interesting now, late in the summer. And you mentioned Laurent Brossoit being on long-term IR. So I talked to Gary.
Just injured reserve at this point, I believe.
At this point, it was at the end of the season, though, that he was put on long-term IR because they needed his salary to come out, or it was injured reserve. But in this way. I talked to Gary Lawless, who covers the Vegas Golden Knights and actually works for the team, earlier in the summer. And I said, look, with Leonard and Brossoit not being in the mix at the start of the season, Logan Thompson and who will play for Vegas? And he said, oh, no, Leonard and Brossoit are going to be ready for the season. So that was his insider inside the Vegas Golden Knights organization, that both Leonard and Brossoit were going to be available. So the fact that now in August, Leonard will miss the whole season, it's expected for him to miss the whole season, is probably a bit of a late news for the Golden Knights to get on their desk.
Well, do you think it changes anything goaltending wise across the league?
No,
you know, I don't. Transaction wise, okay, here's one for you.
Yes.
The Islanders have been reluctant to move anything. If they end up over the cap, would they be more interested now in sending Varlamov to the West and give Vegas a more bona fide, stable number one?
They could. And for Vegas, the money would be the same, right? Varlamov's at $5 million. Leonard was at $5 million. So it's a wash. You were already preparing to pay Leonard $5 million unless you knew from a long time ago that there was a possibility he was going to miss the season. So you were playing along with it. But I think Lou Lamoriello, the New York Islanders, want to trade a forward. They want to trade a Josh Bailey, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, Anthony Beauvillier. They want to trade a $4 to $5 million player forward, most likely. And then that would free them up more money to be able to get this deal done, not only with Nazem Kadri possibly, but also with Noah Dobson and Alexander Romanov. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, if you're really pushed against the wall, and that is a position that maybe the Islanders will find themselves in, that they have now to make a goaltender available, that's the only option I see available to the Vegas Golden Knights would be to bring Semyon Varlamov in. But also depends Varlamov, yeah. And it also depends on where Laurent Brossoit is. Again, he was injured at the end of the season. I was told he was going to start the season. I was told both of them were going to start the season, and now one is out for the season. So who knows? Maybe they are only sitting with Logan Thompson right now and thinking, we really need somebody else and might as well go after a guy that's got 1 year left and will be UFA at the end of the season.
Why am I thinking of Dustin Tokarski and Louis Domingue now?
Well, so some teams did that, right? The New York Rangers
brought in Domingue.
And they got Louis Domingue as their third guy to make sure that if they had a veteran in Hartford in the AHL, but if there was some injury concern, and they signed, I believe, Yaroslav Halak as the backup to Shesterkin. So, but maybe you can turn that into a mid-round pick. Maybe, you know, a third guy on your depth chart could turn into a third round pick. So then you'd have Logan Thompson and Louis Domingue, maybe both right-handed catcher, like you love them, in Vegas. That would be, you'd be watching Vegas every night. I know that. You already do, but you'd be watching them every night.
Tokarski is the depth guy for Pittsburgh, number three, if you will. Yeah. And Andrew Hammond has signed a PTO with the Florida Panthers, adding to the list of their PTOs. I believe they have the most PTOs going into the new season at this moment in time. He'll probably battle Alex Lyon down in Charlotte. Now, as it pertains to, you know, big contracts and injuries, the Max Pacioretty news, and if you just tuned in, Robin Lehner is now out for the year with Vegas. He is needing hip surgery, so his season is done before it started. Pacioretty in Carolina, we actually got details, Marty.
Oh,
he suffered a freak injury during off-ice workouts at their practice facility, which is the Weight Competition Center, and that happened on Tuesday. So the Achilles tendon injury is expected to sideline Pacioretty for 6 months, but
want to have it, and I hear it's extremely painful. I can just feel and see it in my mind, like Pacioretty doing a drill or maybe even just a warm-up drill over the ladder on the floor, whatever, and just collapsing in pain with a torn Achilles. That just makes me sick.
So from the Sabre standpoint, we started by letting you know that Ryan Miller night will happen on January the 19th in 2023. So can't wait for that this coming season. We obviously know that beyond Ryan Miller night, the man who will be behind the bench for that game and all the rest of them is 55 years old today. Happy birthday to Don Granato, the head coach of the team. And we mentioned that Riley Sheahan is back in the fold, signing a two-way deal yesterday as he will challenge positionally, presumably, for the fourth line center, but could well find himself, in my opinion, as like the Mark Jankowski type, who was quite helpful in Rochester last year. And remember, the Amerks have moved off of some of the veterans that provided great leadership last year. And we'll see whether it is Sheahan or Malone or somebody else that ultimately emerges with the fourth line center role here in Buffalo. As far as other Sabres in the news, we saw at development camp, we saw, I thought, a pretty good, overall appearance. And by that, I mean just how he conducted himself off the ice too in Ryan Johnson. He left the door open at that point in time to say, I'm not sure what this season holds. Lance Lysowski reporting this morning that from the Buffalo News, of course, that that Ryan is going back to Minnesota for his senior season.
Yeah, that's interesting. He did say he was torn between signing with the Sabres and turning pro or going back, and that even if he went back, that his goal is to play in the NHL with the Buffalo Sabres. So look, I mean, a lot of things can change, right, in a year, because when he is done with his senior year in college, he could come right to Rochester. He could come right to Buffalo. There's a lot of options. Or he could just wait it out and then become a college free agent later in August to be able to sign with any team that he would want. So is that a bit of a disappointing news? Possibly, because now obviously the door opens up for Johnson to be a UFA at the end or next summer. But I still will believe in his words that he wants to play in the Sabres organization, but feels he needs another year of development at the college level.
We didn't see Alexander Kisikov, surprisingly, at development camp after seeing him in Montreal at the draft, but there were some paperwork issues that didn't allow him to get here. So Lance, again, reporting from the Buffalo News today that that's all been cleared up. So we should see him in the fall when the rookie camp rolls around that leads into the Prospects Challenge, which begins on September the 15th.
So I believe he's on your Rochester depth chart, right, Duffer? Kisikov
well,
was?
Well, of course he is. Yes. Yeah. So, and that, in itself could look, it could look really interesting if Sheahan ends up down there and they have a little bit of depth down the middle, if Arttu Ruotsalainen doesn't end up coming back, the door not 100% closed on that at this point in time. So we'll see, but I like the fact that they've got more pieces with which to work and hopefully fill in that spot down there as the situation unfolds. There were also, Marty, some more names in the mix as it pertains to the Sabres. I don't know if it's necessarily in a newsworthy fashion, but our friends at NHL.com, of course, in these lean summer days, do their 32 and 32 series, doing previews and projections, both fantasy-wise and critical questions for every team in the NHL. And Buffalo is on the big board today when you go to NHL.com. So if you were to head there and look at, let's say, fantasy projections. I think this is more fun than anything as it pertains to, what NHL.com is breaking down. The names that they used in this, they start with Rasmus Dahlin, and their point projection for Buffalo's number one defenseman is 50 points. Higher or lower?
Oh, higher. Come on now. Like, so this is where I am going. I look, A few of those articles were written by Mike Zeisberger, the Big Z. I love the Big Z. He's great. But again, you talked about the lean days of summer for NHL.com, and they kind of like do these overviews of team. And that's what they are, overviews. Now, this fantasy projection is done by the fantasy hockey staff at NHL.com. So they look at everything. They rank the top 250 players in the NHL when it comes to fantasy. They rank the top forwards, the top D. They're a great tool to have when you go into your fantasy season to pick your teams when it comes to NHL hockey fantasy. And they're great. But then you dig in a little bit team by team, especially with the Sabres. And then they say that Rasmus Dahlin's point projection this season is 50. Look, he had 53 last year, and you know, which ranked him 13th in the NHL. I pulled up what the top 10 last season was in the NHL. Obviously, Roman Josi, 96 points. Kale McCarr, 86. Victor Hedman, 85. After that, you have Adam Fox, John Carlson, Morgan Riley, Chris Letang. Great season for Letang. Quinn Hughes, Aaron Ekblad, who was almost a point a game, only played 61 games, and Devon Toews, who is Kale McCarr's partner. Devon Toews 10th at 57 points. I think Dahlin's a top 10 offensive defenseman in the NHL. So he was 13th, and he's going to continue to get better in my opinion. So he goes from 44 points his first season, 40 and only 59 his second year, 23 and 56, the shortened season, the pandemic shortened season. It was not a good year for Dahlin. Bounced back last year with 53. I think he goes over 50. I would even say he goes over 55. It's going to be closer to 60, in my opinion. So I think that's on the low end for Rasmus Dahlin. And I think he'll get 15 goals. I think he got 13 last year. So I think he'll get to 15 goals.
I have a little bit of, on the spot trivia as it pertains to Dahlin, and I'm not sure if you're going to hate me for this or not, but I think generally you like the challenge.
I like the challenge.
This ties in with an earlier signing this week by the San Jose Sharks. So there's your one clue. There were 9 defensemen in the NHL this year, 23 or under, who played 23 plus minutes per night. Obviously, okay. Dahlin is one of them. Otherwise, we wouldn't be going down this road. Can you name the other 8?
Okay, so the one guy that signed with San Jose was Mario Ferraro.
Correct.
So I would have to say he's one of them. 23 and under. I am going to go with Kale McCarr.
There's another.
Okay, so that's good. I am going to go with Quinn Hughes.
Yes.
Okay. How many did you say I have to name?
You've
because
got
that
five
could
more.
Be, I got name. 5 more. Oh boy. I am going to go with Mo Sider.
Yep. 4 to go.
Oh, was he like? I don't know what is. Was he like high in minutes? Because I would expect him to be like maybe
that's
25.
But just keep going.
It doesn't matter. I am about out of guesses. I don't want to
oh,
fail.
Oh, come on. So. One is a former Norris Trophy winner.
Former Norris Trophy winner under 23. Don't know.
Adam Fox.
Oh, is he 23 and under?
Well, he was probably 23 at the start of the year, is my guess.
Yeah,
don't question. I'm taking this legitimately from the San Jose newspaper that wrote the story about Ferraro.
Well, so that's your source. Okay, so Adam Fox. Okay, that makes sense. But Sergachev.
No.
Nah. Okay, that's my
McAvoy, Chychrun, and Heiskanen.
Oh, I should have known Chychrun, because we've talked about him so much over the last like 2 years.
He's also one of the reasons I had to do this.
I'm happy I went 5 for 5 to start, and then
maybe,
I missed on that one.
Maybe the article was 25 and under. Maybe I misread it. You know,
that's all
possible.
Right. it's possible that it is 23 and under, and that's fine. Hey, mm-hmm. But so 50 points for Dallin. Are you over, way over? Are you?
Oh, I'm way over.
Way yeah. over. Okay. Oh, I so think you're it's in the be, same boat as me.
I think 60 is easily the number that he should be at. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, since we are on that fantasy projection, their next guy listed on that article was Tage Thompson, which I had to, you know, kind of read it again and again and again when I first saw it, because they project Tage Thompson to have 55 points this year. He just came off a season where he had 68, mm-hmm. scored 38 goals. Going from 68 to 55 would be a major, major disappointment, in my opinion. I think if he stays around 65, mm-hmm. okay, that's good. If he goes over 70, great. You know, but to drop down to 55 points, now, we always assume he's going to play 82 games or close to it. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's an injury and he ends up with 50, then we adjust, right? But if he finishes the season with 55 points, that's that the Sabres are not going the direction we want them to.
Well, it could mean that others have soared past him. It could also mean he has a second consecutive 30-goal season but fewer assists and goes 30 and 25. Would that be a catastrophic drop?
Yeah. He had 38 goals last year. I'm thinking 35 plus. Thinking getting
I'd be okay, to, okay with 30 goals and 55
if he gets
points.
To 30, I'll say that's good, but I want to see 30-30. Mm-hmm. I want to see 30-35. I want to see the points and the production to be there. Now, if it's 28-30 for 58 points, that's not good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that Tage is going to set his bar way higher than that. That would still be above the projected points by NHL.com fantasy writers, but which have him at 55, but I'm saying 65 is average for me next year. So I would set the over under at 65 with Tage Thompson.
What is the point projection for Owen Power and Alex Tuch? Those are on NHL.com. We'll discuss that and much more Buffalo and league related as we continue Sabres Live after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.